The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us. 458-8255, 458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? It's a great day in Fairbanks, another flat, light day, but I love the hoarfrost on the trees. The temperature is zero this morning. And here at the KFAR Broadcasting Station, Melissa Burnett is expertly running the board for us. Thank you, Melissa. And Melissa keeps the Shooter's Corner archives up to date for us. So if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day or so. And I thank Melissa for that. What is on our agenda today? Leftovers. Leftovers are what we have the week after Thanksgiving, right? I have a few leftover tail ends of past discussions to finish up. On our plate of leftovers includes finishing up about the SIG P365X Macro, my shooting it at the range, and my thoughts on Glenn Miller's NRA Metallic Reloading class, which I attended. It was a great class. And not a leftover, our history for today will be about a decorated naval captain and author of many books, including Run Silent, Run Deep, Captain Edward L. Beach, Jr. Now, my Thanksgiving program last week was dedicated to Joe Nava. The beginning of that program was lost to a technical gremlin. So I will briefly clarify what was lost to static. And before I do that, let's talk about some announcements. Check into readings upcoming. Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit classes are December 10th and 11th. That's next weekend. And January 7th and 8th in 2023, he teaches these once a month. You can sign up at mylegalheat.com under classes. Type in your zip code and Chuck's class dates will come up. Or visit Chuck's website, c4traininggroup.com. Sign up to the link at his website. I am excited for Chuck to roll out his new class on January 21 and 22, Defensive Handgun for the Armed Citizen. Sign up yourself, sign up with friends, or call Chuck and get a gift certificate to give a gift of training as a Christmas present. Chuck does issue gift certificates for his classes. And I'm just thinking, what a better gift than you're giving to someone to help them be safe, to save a life or save their own life. This class is an opportunity to sharpen your shooting skills. You will learn more about situational awareness and scenario-based decision-making for self-defense with your firearm. In Check Into Reading, you know, you have someone with years of personal background experience and training in the field. Also, Chuck has just added his defensive shotgun class for June 10th and 11th for 2023 and his defensive rifle class for July 22nd and 23rd, 2023. That's on his website now. It's not too early to plan and sign up for these classes. You can call Chuck at 844-966-4079. Also, sign up for C4 Training Group Facebook's page feed so you can stay informed of Chuck Indoreden's events. Leftovers. Last week, Thanksgiving Day, I wanted to read you a transcript from Joe Nava's November 27, 2014 Shooter's Corner. And for those of you who listened to my Thanksgiving Day pre-recorded Shooter's Corner program, the beginning of the program was the subject of a technical glitch. And without the beginning of the program, I'm not sure the rest of it made sense. So just to summarize, what did not come through in that first 10 minutes or so was that Joe dedicated that hour to his beloved wife and life partner, Grace, who he had met 65 years earlier Thanksgiving evening in 1949. And Joe had broadcast that program on Thanksgiving Day, November 27, 2014. Grace had passed away the Sunday before that Thanksgiving Day, and she was very much on his mind. And what was missed on that Thanksgiving evening in 1949 from the program with the Static was Joe was introduced by his friend to a blind date, which was Grace. And Joe and Grace and his friend and his friend's date went to a movie, and then they went out afterwards. And Joe was so taken by Grace's beauty and personality, he asked if he could call on her again, and she agreed. It was 10 weeks later that they were married. And for any of us who knew Joe, some of his favorite things were hunting and firearms. And some of what we missed in the beginning of last week's program were the first adventures Joe and Grace had bird hunting back in Massachusetts, where they lived at the time. So I wish we had not lost the first part of my reading that transcript of the program. However, as Joe would tell me, whenever something did not go quite as planned, he'd say, "Okay, that's done. What's next?" Meaning, it didn't work out, learn from it, and let's move on to the next thing. And that's exactly what we're going to do now. Now, back on November 17, I talked about the new SIG P365X macro. But I did not finish that discussion. That's a leftover that I'll get to in a minute. First, I want to let you know that I took my P365X macro to the range twice since that discussion, and I tested it against my original P365 Micro Compact and the 365XL. And I zeroed the new gun with the Holosun 407K X2 Green Dot. And just to remind everyone, I purchased the Holosun 407K X2 because my original choice, the SIG Romeo Zero Elite, marketed for this new X Macro gun, was backordered. Now, I picked up the Romeo Zero Elite on Tuesday. It was in town, but haven't mounted it yet. So I want to use the Holosun a few more weeks to evaluate it, and then I'll switch to the SIG Romeo Zero Elite and let you know what I think of that. The Holosun 407K X2 is the green only, and the Romeo Zero Elite is the 2 MOA dot with the 32 MOA circle. So you can adjust the Elite for just the dot, just the circle, or use both at the same time. Also, as a reminder, Chuck Indereaton had told us he uses the Holosun 509T model, and now that I've looked at it online, I should have purchased that 509T model. I should always ask Chuck before I make a purchase for these things. It used to be that there weren't as many reflex sights, brands, and features to choose from back, you know, even a few years ago. And with these being so popular now, you really have to do your homework because the features are constantly being improved. So I read one feature, I haven't used one, but I read on the Holosun site, one feature on that 509T has that I might like is the circle in the reticle. If you use that circle option, it has guidelines, and I think they call that a star reticle. So back to the gun itself, I just love that X macro. There's a world of difference in felt recoil compared to my non-ported guns and compared to the XL model, which is about the same size. It just doesn't have the porting in it. And after shooting that X Macro, the only reason I would carry my P365 Micro Compact is if I absolutely need to carry that smaller size for concealment. So I'll be purchasing a new set of holsters from 40 Below for the X Macro. I already ordered another belly band system for it, and that X Macro will be my new carry gun. I already mentioned on November 17 that the lengthened grip module and using the small backstrap option that came with the gun makes the P365X Macro fit perfectly in my hand. Again, this is the only gun I have that is so perfect for me that my finger has excellent placement on the trigger. The frame of the gun is perfectly aligned with my wrist, just an extension of my hand. The important thing I want to share with you is the reduction in felt recoil. Now, on November 17th, I spoke about the compensator slits cut into the slide on the X Macro. The barrel is the same 3.1 inches as the smaller Micro Compact, but the slide is extended, so it's longer. It's the same length as the XL model, which came out before this X Macro model. Those compensator slits do their job. I have to say, I was not expecting such comfort in shooting. I can't say there's really 30% reduction in recoil. I've read that SIG suggests it's about 30%, but I felt that there was comparatively hardly any recoil. I shared my X Macro with three of my range friends, and as I watched them shoot that gun, I saw very little muzzle movement. Of course, you have to have a proper grip on the gun, on any gun, for it to perform at its best. And how I shoot and how I teach to shoot in terms of grip dynamics for a semi-automatic handgun, I want to share that with you. Do we have time?
We have 30 seconds.
We have 30 seconds. Okay, first, wrap your shooting hand around the grip, covering as much grip real estate as possible. The trigger finger must be along the frame of the trigger. And second, wrap your non-shooting hand around the other side, filling in the grip real estate not covered with your shooting hand with the keel of your non-shooting hand. And we're going to go to break, and I'm going to finish this up and give you a little bit of a tip about grip. Stay with us.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe.
Hey Alaska, at Auto Trim Design, we know how difficult it can be to pick the perfect gift. Do they want an Auto Start, running boards, moose lights, heated seats, or floor liners? Maybe they're saving up for one of our many other products. I'll let you in on a little secret. We have gift certificates. Let me say it again for those in the back. We have gift certificates. It's true. So stop by Auto Trim Design today for gifts they'll love at 2550 South Cushman Street.
Make the Christmas dreams of the outdoor lover on your list come true with help from the Outdoor Store. Frontier Outfitters. Fish, hunt, camp, and hike with Alaska-proven clothing and equipment. Guns, camping gear, GPS, and more. You'll find the perfect gift in one easy stop. When you give a Frontier Outfitters gift card, it can be used in Sentry Hardware and the Woolly Rhino as well. Gift wrapping is free. Your holiday shopping just got easier. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway Snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Partly cloudy today with highs around 5 above. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, lows dip down to about 4 below. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 15. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK. What's on your mind about firearms today? And I just finished up before we went to break telling you to wrap your non-shooting hand around the other side. Your shooting hand is already correctly wrapped, and you have it tight against that grip, filling in any grip real estate not covered by your shooting hand. And you want the heel of your non-shooting hand up against the heel of your shooting hand. So look down at your hands on the grip, lower the gun a little bit, and look down at your hands on that grip. The entire grip should be covered by your hands for best control. No cup and saucer stuff. And the heels of both hands should be tight together. Okay, caller, you are on the line.
Hey, Laura, this is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
And you were talking about the dot sights.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you were talking about a 32 MOA circle.
Yes.
A dot that can be head by itself or with a dot inside or simply a dot.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Well, as you progress through your transition there, think about this for a little bit. I've noticed that if I use the circle or the circle dot configuration, I find myself trying to frame the shot, which is obviously slower.
Right, right. So I haven't put, so right now the Holosun I have on there and all my other red or green dots are just dots. So this new Romeo Elite that I just picked up on Tuesday is the circle dot, and I haven't mounted it yet. So as soon as I have a chance to use it, I'll let you know what I think. I have an eye issue. Where it looks like a little bite is taken out. Like if I'm looking at a straight line, it looks like a little bite is taken out of it. And so when I'm looking at the dot, I don't see that dot real well unless it's way too big. And it's, of course, it's not a dot. It's a blur of color. And I was thinking for me, the circle might work if I don't get hung up on what you're talking about, framing it, because it will allow me to center very, very quickly. And I think I'll pick up where that dot is quicker. But it's an eye issue for me and not what you're talking about. What I've read is that a lot of people say the circle is good when you're shooting steel because it's easier, but for self-defense practice they find it's just too much information and they go back to the red, just the dot. Is that that's what you're finding?
Yes, and it's kind of a learning process because I'm using it with a new gun that the jury is still out of.
Oh.
I don't know, I've got it on a Walther PDP.
Oh, okay.
And it's like I say, it's still a work in progress, so you know that it's all subject to change.
Yeah, the more you work, yeah, definitely. Well, I'll let you know what I think, and if anyone else has information about their opinions on these dot circles, call in and let us know, because it seems to be the latest thing now.
Well, it certainly would be interesting to hear from other folks.
Yeah, and thank you very much.
Okay, you have a great day.
You too. Right. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Hey, so I was just listening to Ron and you having that conversation about a red dot there.
Yes, and that's, yes.
Hey, so as you know, I'm a red dot instructor for the state troopers.
Okay, yeah.
One of the things we always find out is if you guys are focusing on that dot or it seems like it's getting too busy, you're getting sucked back into the sight.
Oh.
We call it anyway.
Yes, that makes sense.
So remember, red dots, you're always threat focused.
Okay.
I'm always looking at my target. I'm target focused, and then my dot just literally becomes like my front sight.
Okay.
So don't focus on the dot at all.
Okay.
Focus on the threat the entire time, and then superimpose the dot.
Okay.
That's probably the easiest way. And I've never heard of that thing about a 32 MOA being used only to shoot for steel.
Oh no, not only to use for steel. What I've read is that in competition. So if you're shooting at like a 8-inch steel plate, any shot in that anywhere in that circle is going to ding it, right?
Correct. If your sight's parallax free,
yeah,
that's not going to be an issue at all.
Yeah.
For all the modern ones.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the 32 MOA with a 2 MOA dot can be busy for people because it tends to, especially if it's blooming, if it's too bright.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it tends to wash out your threat or your target.
Right.
So that's why we teach people, like, you can start out with a 32 MOA until you get used to picking up the dot. And then as part of your presentation grip, then go back to the 2 MOA dot.
Okay.
Go back to your 6 MOA dot or whatever dot you have, the smallest dot possible.
Okay.
So that way it's easier to see the threat.
This makes perfect sense. This makes perfect sense.
Especially at distance.
Yeah.
If you have a 32 MOA with a 2 MOA turned on and you're shooting at 50-yard targets, you'll tend to cover your target. And then it's like, target at.
So, yeah.
Which we traditionally do anyways. We show our students all the time, you are very effective at 50 yards with a dot. We shoot Glock 17 MOS. We can shoot them all day. I shot a 200-yard target with a Glock 17 frangible at Thunder Ranch. So
okay.
It is entirely possible. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Now, on your, if you have a few more seconds, on your 509T, When I looked online, the 32 MOA circle, it looks like it has four, you know, top, bottom, and two sides, four little lines. I call that a star, but I might not be using the right terminology. Is that right? Is that what you have? And if it is, why do we need it? Is that a benefit or more just more clutter?
Yeah, it could be considered more clutter, but what it does is it shows level.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So just, and which is kind of not necessary at distance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember offset, right? So mechanical offset. So if I'm up close to a target, then I have to understand that my round is going to hit probably about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches low, depending on how it's set up.
Okay.
From the dot. So that is important if you're shooting at close quarters and you have to do like a headshot, for instance, or something like that where you want to hit in the ocular nasal cavity.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay. And let me ask you one more question. Where do you advise to have your dot? I like my dots where I have them set up just right above my front sight. So if they failed, I would be in the same position as if I was using my front sight.
Well, it depends on the setup.
Okay.
But for most people, we recommend that you use what we call suppressor height sights for their front sight.
Okay.
So that it is within at least the lower one-third of the glass.
Okay.
Now, Holosun came out with a new setup called the EPS.
Okay.
Really hard to find right now because of the popularity. They just were released with the last SHOT Show.
Okay.
But they have like a little back-end rear sight now, and it can literally mount directly onto like an RMR cut. And
okay.
They have different cuts for different slides. So anyways, or different ones for different slide cuts, I should say.
Okay, it's called the EPS?
Yeah, it's a Holosun EPS. I can't remember what the EPS part stands for, but it's
okay.
Kind of like a smaller, kind of like Trigicon's version of the RMRCC, their concealed carry version.
Okay, okay.
So it's going to be a smaller TV screen. It's kind of like going from 7-inch back to a 19-inch TV.
Okay.
But as you know, with practice, presentation, it's easier to just pick up that dot regardless of what the size of your TV screen.
Right, right. And that's how I practice with that in mind is one of my goals. This industry is changing so quickly. Keep us informed of all the new stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chuck, for sharing your knowledge. I really, and like I said earlier, I'm going to ask you the next time I need to buy something because you know and I don't. And then I get out there and go, well, Chuck has this and it's probably works a lot better than what I just got. So you're on the list.
Hey, and so also anybody who's shooting a red dot or carrying a red dot right now for a concealed carry, just make sure that they continue to put their cat crap on there because, like, it's cold weather now. It's time to keep that stuff on there so you have that anti-fogging.
Yes, and I bought some. I bought some. I bought some. And I've been putting it on, I did put it on my red dot, and I also put it on my glasses, on my regular glasses and on my sunglasses that I walk with. And, you know, in the really cold weather, like when it's down to zero and you're really hot because you're all bundled up and you're walking or running, I got a good half hour before my glasses started fogging up, and I don't get that. They start fogging up almost immediately in the cold weather. So it bought me a good half hour. So good stuff.
So, all right.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Thank you for the tips.
All right.
Bye. Okay. All right, everyone. Buy the cat stuff. I'm not gonna say it over the radio. I don't know why they give a great product a bad name. But anyway, buy the cat stuff. It does work. It doesn't work for hours. But I got half an hour on my glasses on the trail, and I was happy to have that. So, and thank you again, Chuck. I just learned a lot in about 5 minutes. So, and that new. That new one is called the Holosun EPS, and I'll take a look at that online or when it comes out. Okay. Now, we've just wrapped our shooting hand and our non-shooting hand around the grip. Your non-shooting hand thumb must be placed ahead of your shooting hand thumb along the frame under the slide. Your shooting hand thumb is indexed in the indentation in the grip area just under the slide. Now, your non-shooting hand thumb will be forward along the frame in front of your shooting hand thumb. And I tell students to lower the gun and look down from above your gun. I want the tip of their trigger finger, which is now straight and along the side of the frame, equal distant from the tip of their forward non-shooting hand thumb. Now, the tip of that trigger finger and the tip of your non-shooting hand thumb being even, one on one side and one on the other side, is something I learned from the Glock representative some years ago when they were here. And I have never heard that taught in an NRA class. Actually, no one except the Glock people have ever mentioned that to me. But I tried it, and students have tried it. And from my experience, it greatly helps making sure your hands are positioned correctly to control that semi-automatic handgun. And to me, that is a perfect grip. And when you pull, you put your trigger finger on the trigger and press back on the trigger, your non-shooting hand thumb seems to act as a counterbalance. And I tell students to push forward a bit with their shooting hand and pull back a bit with their non-shooting hand. And this helps stabilize the gun and control movement from recoil. And when the gun does recoil, if you hold that hand position, all that happens on the recoil is that the handgun might rise up a bit. Your elbows will still be relatively straight. You don't want them locked, but they'll be relatively straight, and you will be able to immediately come down on the recoil for that second shot. And if you do not have a solid grip on that semi-automatic handgun, it's likely your arms will bend at the elbows, as well as you might completely detach from your gun with your non-shooting hand. And this is referred to as the gun flying out of your hand. It is not a good thing, but I see it frequently when I watch shooters with semi-automatics. And if that happens, you will not be able to quickly reacquire your target to take that second shot. You will have to completely reestablish your grip. So before you go to break, with a proper grip technique, it is with confidence I can tell you that that SIG P365X Macro is now my most comfortable 9mm to shoot, and I will be using it a lot. Let's go to our half-hour break, and stay with us.
The heartbeat of Alaska, now in full stereo at 97.5 FM.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden hosted French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House today. At a news conference, the president said the two discussed the war in Ukraine, European concerns over Biden's climate initiatives, and China's aggression in the Indo-Pacific.
We're going to continue to strengthen our cooperation to defend core international principles in the Indo-Pacific, including freedom of navigation and freedom of overflight.
The president is hosting Macron tonight for the first state dinner of his presidency. There's some indication inflation may be easing.
A key inflation measure rose less than expected in October. The personal consumption expenditures takes into account changes in consumer behavior. For instance, subbing in less expensive goods for pricier ones. The yearly rate of inflation slowed to 6% from 6.2% in September.
Fox's Lillian Wu. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports the National Transportation Safety Board said Tuesday that it wants to see the Federal Aviation Administration issue aviation regulations specific to Ketchikan to require more conservative flight minimums and enhanced weather training for all air tour pilots flying there. According to a press release from the agency, there have been 7 air tour crashes in Ketchikan since 2007, leaving 31 people dead over the 14-year span while seriously injuring 13 others. The incidents prompted the NTSB to urge the FAA to take action by identifying potential improvements in a new report. The 20-page report from the Safety Board includes new regulations the NTSB hopes the Aviation Administration will look into. What we're asking them to do is to look at what we refer to as a SFAR, a Special Federal Aviation Regulation. Basically raise those minimums for tour operators, NTSB Alaska Region Chief Clint Johnson said. Obviously, an accident involving the tour industry not only hurts the operator, the industry, but the state as well.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
For many of us in interior Alaska, our vehicles are our only transport. At Auto Trim Design, we know how important it is to protect your ride from the environment. Our winters are cold, dark, and slippery. But have no fear, Auto Trim Design is here. With accessories like bumpers, heated seats, remote starts, moose lights, Arctic spray-on bed liners, and much more to protect you, your family, and your vehicle. Stop by today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman, to protect your ride from Old Man Winter.
Life is the road trip we all travel. We're all on that road, moving one direction, forward, even when road conditions may slow us down. Still, we move forward, and the roads improve once again. Arctic RV encourages you, keep moving forward, because the road conditions will improve. Although Arctic RV is closed for the winter, they will reopen Monday, April 3rd. See you this spring. Travel, explore, camp, and enjoy the beautiful Alaska in comfort. Arctic RV, rough it in style.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK. And let us know what's on your mind about firearms or red dots or green dots and circles today. All right, we can learn from you if you've had some experience with these things. And thank you again, Chuck. So let me get back to some leftovers. I will finish my discussion from November 17th on the SIG X macro, and then I will put all of this to rest. Before I start, if you are looking for a gun like the SIG P365X Macro, compare it to the Springfield Hellcat Pro and whatever model of Glock you might be interested in. Perhaps it would be the 43X might be comparable. I say this because all three are excellent, out-of-the-box, no modification, reasonably priced, mass-marketed firearm models used for self-protection. Each manufacturer has nuances, and as individuals, you will have your preferences, but at least make those comparisons if you are in that market bracket. And there's a lot of other good guns out there, too, and high and low price brackets. So there are many good YouTube videos comparing the P365X Macro to the Glock 43X or the Springfield Hellcat. I watched a number of those. We ran out of time on November 17th just as I was going to discuss the capacity issue. How much capacity do we need? And there are two main reasons why firearms companies are resizing popular models from their micro compacts to larger yet concealable, larger sized handguns. And those resized options offer a better grip frame and more capacity. And both are improvements that customers have been asking for. And I referred to two articles on November 17th. The first article published in the current October issue of Firearms News titled Sig Sauer's New P365X Macro by David Fortier. And the second article is from the current November issue of Guns and Ammo written by Jeremy Stafford titled From Micro to Macro, Sig Sauer Continues to Evolve the P365 with the mantra more capacity, more shootability, and more concealability. Here's a quote from David Fortier about rethinking capacity needs. Quote, the one thing many dislike about the various 38 snubbies and the single-stack compact 380 and 9mm pistols on the market is their limited magazine capacity. I suspect recent events have led many to reevaluate their suitability for concealed carry. 5 to 7 rounds seem plenty for a typical self-defense situation involving one assailant, but what if rather than one you're faced with multiple assailants or an angry violent mob, a mass of violent people which makes you fear for your life and the lives of your loved ones? In such a situation, a 5-shot snub-nosed revolver, 380 auto, or single-stack 9mm isn't a real confidence builder, unquote. And what I want to say is please don't scare yourself with situations you will likely never experience. Give some serious thought to this. We should refer back to what we learned from Dr. Schneider in his book, Can I See Your Hands? What gun you choose to carry that day or what gun you buy, if you buy only one gun, should be based on a logical assessment of the threat and your ability to avoid that threat. And as I mentioned, I no longer feel comfortable with my 5-shot Ruger SP-101 in terms of enough rounds, even if I carry a speed loader or two. However, I don't think I need to leave the house with 34 plus one rounds on me. I think if I do think that way, I probably should stay home that day. It is a given that I could find myself in a situation with more than one bad guy, perhaps two, maybe three. But in reality, I would not put myself in a situation where there's an angry crowd. I would not go to protests or demonstrations. I would not drive through those areas and events while they're in progress. So be realistic about your training and be realistic about where you're going and avoid the threats in the first place. 40-year comments that a number of us will want to own the P365 family in different sizes and capabilities or capacities. And listeners, I will talk Chuck and I kind of talked about this a few weeks ago. I think Chuck called in with a comment. I will talk about trying to change out multiple carry guns and holsters and drawing positions another time, because you really need to think through that carefully. He says, if you want only one P365, one handgun that will do it all, in his words and Fortier's words, he says to look into this X macro. He further notes, quote, the P365 X macro is designed to handle any personal protection scenario that can be solved with a handgun, unquote. I want to share a few comments from some well-known YouTube personalities. Aaron Cohn, founder of Sage Dynamics, in his YouTube video titled SIG P365 X Macro, he thinks of the compensator feature, as SIG calls it, as more of a muzzle brake. And muzzle brakes are more effective at reducing felt recoil, while compensators typically have more of an effect on muzzle rise. And as a result, muzzle brakes are often used on larger caliber rifles that produce a lot of recoil, and compensators are more commonly seen on smaller caliber handguns. And I'm not an expert on any of this, but seems like some people are tending to use the terms compensator and muzzle brake interchangeably. They're different items, but from what I read, there are muzzle brakes that can be cut in a way that will not only reduce the recoil, but will also reduce muzzle rise and movement. And when I shot my P365X Macro, I felt those compensator cuts did reduce the muzzle rise, which is exactly what you want in a defensive handgun, so you can get consecutive shots quickly on the target. Hickok 45 has a YouTube video titled SIG P365 X Macro Comp, and many of us enjoy Hickok 45. And let me quote him, and those of you familiar with his range setup will probably laugh at this quote. As he's shooting the P365X Macro. Quote, of all the models SIG came out with lately, they finally came out with a bowling pin model. It's also designed as a cowboy model and a 2-liter and a silhouette pig killer. It holds 17 rounds if you can cram in 17, unquote. Yeah, remember, the lunch offer is still available for any of you who, without an aid, can cram 17 into that magazine using your hands only. He reminds viewers that the X Macro barrel is not ported, but the slide is cut with the compensation slits. And Hickok does not like a compensator feature on his defensive handgun. He wants all the blasts to go forward. He notes if the gun is close to you, it may be in a self-defense situation. He doesn't want that blast coming into his face. He does say if muzzle flip is your priority, then you might want this gun. And that said, he did like the P365 XL. That's the one that's a comparable size as the X Macro, but it doesn't have the compensator slits cut into it. It has the other slide without that feature. And then another gentleman, Tactical Considerations, has a YouTube. It's titled SIG X Macro versus Hellcat Pro Head to Head. And he makes very good comparisons of those two guns. Tactical Considerations does like the Hellcat adaptive grip texture better. And I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. That is a very nice texture grip that they have. He does feel the compensator feature on the SIG X Macro does minimize felt recoil and muzzle rise, which is my opinion too. And that brings my review of 6 Hours P365 X Macro to an end. And if any of you have this gun or comments about it, call in over the next few weeks to share your thoughts. And Ron, if you're still listening, I have not yet had time to watch Scott Jedlinski's YouTube videos or read his articles on the red dots, but it is on my list. And when I do study them, I will share what I've learned with you on Shooter's Corner. And that's the end of our leftovers. I'm going to save my review of Glenn Miller's class, which was an excellent class, until next week, unless by some odd chance I have time today, because I want to talk about some history now. Our history discussion today is about a decorated military submarine officer and best-selling author, Captain Edward L. Beach, Jr., who at age 84, passed away this day, December 1st, but in 2002. He received 10 decorations for gallantry, including a Navy Cross for his service during World War II. And during World War II, Beach participated in the Battle of Midway and 12 combat patrols. After the war, Beach served as a naval aide to President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Beach commanded the first submerged circumnavigation. Beach became a best-selling author whose book, Run Silent, Run Deep, was made into a movie by the same name in 1958. I could not find much information about Captain Beach's childhood and upbringing other than his father was also a naval captain, Captain Edward L. Beach Sr. We're going to go to our last break, and I will finish up this story when we get back.
Hey Alaska, at Auto Trim Design, we know how difficult it can be to pick the perfect gift. Do they want an Auto Start, running boards, moose lights, heated seats, or floor liners? Maybe they're saving up for one of our many other products. I'll let you in on a little secret. We have gift certificates. Let me say it again for those in the back. We have gift certificates. It's true. So stop by Auto Trim Design today for gifts they'll love at 2550 South Cushman Street.
Make the Christmas dreams of the outdoor lover on your list come true with help from the Outdoor Store. Frontier Outfitters. Fish, hunt, camp, and hike with Alaska-proven clothing and equipment. Guns, camping gear, GPS, and more. You'll find the perfect gift in one easy stop. When you give a Frontier Outfitters gift card, it can be used in Sentry Hardware and the Woolly Rhino as well. Gift wrapping is free. Your holiday shopping just got easier. Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Life is the road trip we all travel. We're all on that road, moving one direction, forward. Even when road conditions may slow us down, still, we move forward. And the roads improve once again. Arctic RV encourages you, keep moving forward, because the road conditions will improve. Although Arctic RV is closed for the winter, they will reopen Monday, April 3rd. See you this spring. Travel, explore, camp, and enjoy the beautiful Alaska in comfort. Arctic RV, rough it in style.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 5 above. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. 4 below tonight, mainly cloudy. Cloudy skies tomorrow, snow likely 15. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. So our man of historic significance, Captain Edward L. Beach, Jr., he was born in New York City and raised in Palo Alto, California. Beach received an appointment to the U.S. Naval Academy in 1935 by Senator Hiram Johnson.
We have a caller.
California. Okay, we have a caller. You are on the line.
Hi, Laura. This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I was just calling to say another good site for research on red dots.
Yes.
Stage Dynamics. They have a white paper where the author evaluates a number of different dots, including dropping the gun from shoulder height, you know, with the dot on it, and a whole bunch of tests that he does to see whether it will work or not in terms of hard use. So it's a really good site.
I will, you know, when I first started this program, I think it was in the first year, I looked at that and I did a program. I read his white paper and it was great. And it is a wonderful site and it's a very valuable document. And I will take another look at that and see if I can glean some things that will add more to this conversation. Do you know if he's updated it at all or updated with some of the new? He had, you know, he listed in there what ones failed and what ones didn't. And I think a lot of us back then made decisions based on that white paper.
Yeah, and I have as well. And, yeah, the update on it is 2021.
Okay.
And he also has YouTube where he evaluates various dots as well.
Okay, I'm going to dedicate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the ones he evaluated, and of course I can't think of the model number, but Holosun makes one that instead of a dot, it's got a chevron, and it has a circle that only comes into sight when you're off, when it's not on target correctly. So it's kind of funny. So it actually helps you to realize, oh, I've got this canted in correcting it. So it's an interesting sight. I think it's, I haven't tried it, but it looks fascinating.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. I've got like 4 weeks worth of list of things for the next 4 weeks. But then
sure.
Starting in the new year, I'll take it because that 2021, that's definitely a newer version than what I looked at a couple of years ago. So I'll take a look and then we'll keep having this red dot discussion because, man, these features have been changing rapidly.
Definitely.
And I've got a lot of red dots and each one of them has got newer and better features on it. So, okay, thank you so much.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for the show.
Okay, you're welcome. All right.
Bye-bye.
So in 1939, Captain Beach graduated second out of 576 men in the Naval Academy. He was named the midshipman. The midshipman who had done the most to promote naval spirit and loyalty in his regiment. When Beach left the academy, he first served on the heavy cruiser, the USS Chester, and then he served on the destroyer, the USS Leah. The Leah was named in honor of Edward Leah, a U.S. Navy officer who was killed during the American Civil War. In September of 1941, Beach was detached from the Leah and sent to accelerated training at the submarine training school at New London Submarine Base in Connecticut. It was just shortly after Japan attacked us on Pearl Harbor that Beach graduated first in his class at the submarine training school. He first served on the USS Trigger. It was aboard the Trigger that Beach participated in the Battle of Midway and served on 10 war patrols. For his service on the USS Trigger, Beach was awarded the Presidential Unit Citation and the Navy Unit Citation. This citation is awarded to units for their extraordinary heroism in action against the enemy. Beach was next assigned to the USS Tarante. In late 1944, he served under Lieutenant Commander George L. Street. Street was awarded the Medal of Honor for, quote, making a daring attack in a heavily defended Japanese harbor during Tarante's first war patrol from March 3rd to April 26, 1945, unquote. That was from Wikipedia. Beach was aboard the Tarante during that time. From a New York Times article, quote, in July 1944, Captain Beach joined the submarine Tarante, which sank 9 ships on its first patrol, an action for which he received the Navy Cross. On March 28, 1945, Captain Beach received word that the Tarante was to rendezvous with his old sub, the Trigger, for a joint patrol in the East China Sea. The Tarante's radio man sent out contact to the Trigger, but it could not be reached. A post-war investigation found that the Trigger had been destroyed by Japanese ships and planes, unquote. On June 25, 1945, Beach assumed command of the USS Piper at Pearl Harbor, and the USS Piper departed for war patrol on July 29 of 1945 and entered the Sea of Japan on August 13th. The war ended on August 14th. Beach's ship was in Japanese water when the formal surrender was signed on September 2, 1945, and Beach's USS Piper began its return to Pearl Harbor the next day. From Wikipedia, quote, during this time serving in World War II, Beach earned 10 decorations for gallantry, which included the Navy Cross and 3 unit citations. He participated in 12 war patrols that damaged or sank 45 enemy vessels, unquote. Among other assignments, in August of 1949, Captain Beach went on to serve as naval aide to General Omar Bradley, who was the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And while serving as General Bradley's naval aide, Beach witnessed what is known as the Revolt of the Admirals. And I should do a program on that sometime. And this piece of history erupted during the Cold War period from 1949 and had to do with President Harry S. Truman and his Secretary of Defense, Lewis A. Johnson, wanting to reduce military spending. And their proposed policy was to make deep cuts in the Navy while at the same time bolstering and making the U.S. Air Force and strategic nuclear bombing the primary means of defending our interests. And a few higher-ups in the Navy did not like that. And part of the arguments or debates had to do with the differences in opinions about civilian control over the military and inter-service rivalry. With the outbreak of the Korean War in June of 1950, the shortcomings of a defense policy reliant on nuclear weapons was quite clear, and many of the proposed cuts to our conventional forces, including our Navy, were reversed. Now, continuing with Beach's career, moving forward, from 1953 to 57, he was naval aide to President Eisenhower. And here is another quote from Wikipedia. As naval aide, Beach was responsible for the management of Camp David, the White House mess, and for the presidential yacht, the USS Williamsburg. Because Eisenhower had made a campaign promise to get rid of the presidential yacht, neither the efforts of Beach nor those of Miss Eisenhower were successful in dissuading him from that course of action. The elimination of the USS Williamsburg proved to be a bureaucratic hassle for Beach and the Navy Department, since the Williamsburg was the funnel for all budgets and personnel for Camp David and the White House mess. While working at the White House, Beach volunteered to be the coordinator of the White House staff for all plans to protect the president in case of a nuclear attack. Since the Secret Service in 1953 did not deem helicopters as safe travel, evacuating the president on short notice was planned by Beach via the Potomac River, and several PT boats patrol torpedo boats at a high-speed race down the river to meet up with a waiting Navy ship, unquote. On October 1, 1956, Beach advanced to the rank of captain. In January 1958, Beach attended the Navy's training program for atomic reactors, qualifying for, and in November 1959, taking command of the USS Triton. Now, the Triton was our fifth nuclear-powered submarine and the only American nuclear-powered submarine to be equipped with 2 nuclear reactors. And another quote, departing New London on what was supposed to have been a shakedown cruise in February of 1960, the Triton began a 1960 circumnavigation of the Earth in 84 days without servicing, covering over 41,000 statute miles, an unprecedented feat. The route of the Triton followed that of Ferdinand Magellan in 1519 and 1520 to 1522. The scientific and military significance of the Triton voyage was overshadowed by the U-2 incident, which broke just as the Triton, the USS Triton, was returning, unquote. And many of us remember the U-2 incident where Soviet air defense forces shot down our U-2 spy plane piloted by Francis Gary Powers. Now, later during his career as a writer, Captain Beach wrote about the Triton's voyage in his book Around the World, Submerged, The Voyage of the Triton. That was published in 1962. And he went on to command Submarine Squadron 8 from 61 to 62. Next, he attended the National War College and completed his course of study in July of 63. And following that, Beach was in competition with Eugene Parks Wilkinson for selection as Rear Admiral, but Wilkinson was chosen. Captain Beach continued his career, retiring from active duty in 1966 after serving our nation for 27 years. And we should know that he served 7 years as Staff Director of the United States Republican Policy Committee. Let's see here. I just have a few minutes left. I'll back up here, but I want to read you something just so I don't run out of time. In the final pages of his book, Submarine, Captain Beach wrote about his feelings while skipper of the submarine Piper when Japan surrendered. So here's a quote from that book. Instead of wild exultation, a fit of the deepest despondency descended upon me. The same old thoughts were still running through my mind. Why Trigger and not Piper or Tarante? What about Johnny Moore, the man who had ordered me to submarine school against my will back in September 1941? He had gone down as skipper of the Greyback after a series of outstanding patrols. We had won the war. It was over, finished, and somehow I had had the incredible luck to be spared. But what little dividend those of us who were alive to see this day from those of us who were not. Unquote. I'm going to end this program here. I've got some great programs planned for the next 4 weeks, so stay tuned with us. Call in with your Red Dot experiences and any new guns you purchased or tried out. And thank you again, Chuck, and thank you again, Ron, and Steve, for all your contributions today.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.